The gospel lesson this morning is taken from Luke, and I will be reading from the Message this morning, and Jesus is speaking. This is the good news about Jesus. And now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, Jesus said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for your word today, that it is a gift to us. And as we open this gift, may it transform our lives, sharing what we have received with others in Jesus' name. Amen. The story of the 10 lepers is really curious to me. Imagine, first of all, isn't it kind of unusual to think in your head that why would 10 lepers be walking around together, like in a pack? You know, like 10 lepers, not one, you know, but 10. Well, if you know anything about diseases like this, skin diseases, any kind of a disease that has a stigma attached to it, that a lot of times people will just cling to one another because they're the only ones that will accept them. And so if you happen to be someone that has purple hair, and I love purple hair, you may find yourself with other people that have purple hair because you just want to like feel accepted and understand the other. Oh yeah, I see why you have purple hair. It's perfectly great. I have purple hair too. And so we just sort of cling to things that are familiar. If you're I remember growing up Presbyterian, you know, I wonder how many of us had mostly Presbyterian friends. Or if we were raised Jewish, I wonder how many of us might have just kind of had most of our friends who were of the Jewish faith. That makes sense, right? And so these 10 lepers were clinging to one another, not only because they shared something in common, an important memory that they had this skin disease called leprosy, for which there was no ordinary cure. They had to live in isolation from the community. The lepers lived outside the city gates. The lepers had to travel together, and as they walked down the streets, imagine, they had to have a bell and make noise in order, and they would say, "Leper, leper, leper, leper," in order to give fair warning to the people that might be around them so that they wouldn't be touched and possibly be infected. It was a terrible, isolated life. And it was the kind of life that was almost hopeless. Because again, there was just no, you couldn't take a pill or go see a doctor for a treatment plan. You had to endure your illness. And so Jesus comes across these 10 lepers as he's moving between the area of Galilee and Samaria. And Samaria, back then, if not today, that there's a lot of tension between Israel and Samaria. Samaria represented the part of town where your mom said, "Do not go. They can't be trusted. They're all foreigners." And Israel, of course, Galilee. Jesus spent most of his life in Galilee. That was a very familiar territory. But Jesus is going down in between this well-marked area between Galilee and Samaria. And he would probably not want to venture off too far into Samaria. And if he did, as we know he did when he met the woman at the well, do you remember that story? Jesus met a woman from Samaria at a well. We'll be coming to that in a couple weeks. But so he's in between these two areas, sort of a no man's land. And he's approached by these 10 lepers. And they come up, they know who Jesus was. And he says, they say, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And he says something, again, that might seem a little odd to us reading about this today. He says, "Well, go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. See, back in the day where Rob read for us from God's Word about the story of Naaman, who had leprosy. And in order for leprosy to be verified clean, you'd have to go and show yourself to the priest. And the priest, sort of like the town doctor, he would verify whether or not you were absolutely clean or not. And if the priest said, no, I still see a little bit of leprosy there, I'm sorry, you'd have to go back to your group of 10 or your group of 20 and just hang out in isolation again. And so Naaman, this great man, had leprosy, and the prophet came and said, "I want you to go and bathe 7 times over in that river." And he says, "That's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard. Why would I go do that? Why can't, if the prophet is really a prophet of God, why can't that prophet just wave their arm and I'd be cured?" And so he just stumps away angry. But then his friends, his staff, come up to him and say, "Naaman, man, come on, think about this. You mean to tell me that if the prophet came and he was going to cure you of leprosy, the prophet came and he said, go, you know, do 10 jumping jacks, do 4 sit-ups, and go run around the building 8 times, and then do something else, something fancy, that maybe then you would do it. But just because he asked you to do something very simple, go down into the water and go in and out of the water 7 times, that you somehow think that's beneath you? If you're going to be cured, why wouldn't you just do it? And why wouldn't your sense of receiving that gracious gift of healing, why wouldn't that gift, just whatever it required to open it, you would just do it?" And so Naaman thought about that. Yeah, I guess I was looking for something a little more fancy. And so he goes down to the river, bathes 7 times, and comes out healed. And then he goes and reports himself back to the priest and says, "I know now that there is no greater God in the whole world than the God with whom I have just had this encounter with." So these lepers were asked to go to the priest so that as they were healed, they could be verified clean. But as the story turns out, only one of them comes back to give thanks to God. 1 out of 10. There's a city in Wisconsin. You remember Wisconsin, right? That's the place where I got the cheese tie that my wife gave me. Yes, you remember that. If you weren't here for that week, ask, I'll bring it back and show it to you. And so in the city of Wisconsin, there's a town called Racine. And Racine was facing a real budget crisis. You know, towns around here don't face budget crises, right? No. Did you know our gasoline tax is going to go up? Who comes up with this stuff? I have no idea. But so Racine, Wisconsin was facing an incredible thing, and they couldn't, of course, tax gasoline, and they couldn't add income tax, so they had to come up with some other way. And in Racine, what they did was the mayor sent a letter to all the nonprofits in the city of Racine, Wisconsin. You know, 100 or more. You know, it could be churches, synagogues, mosques, maybe. Could have been the Boy Scouts, the Cub Scouts, the B'nai B'rith. Could have been, you know, the PTA, you know, just all these different nonprofits. And sent this letter out and said essentially 2 things. First of all, he thanked them for their service to the community. And second, since you receive the benefit of property tax exemption because you're a nonprofit, and yet you receive all the city services such as fire, police, sewer, trash, pickup, would you consider a gift to the city of Racine, Wisconsin, just to offset this momentary budget crisis the whole town of which you're a part is facing? It was, and I saw the letter, and that's essentially what it was. It wasn't a judging letter. It wasn't a threatening letter. It was simply a letter of gratitude, but asking them if they wouldn't share back some of what the city had already given to them. And so this letter went out, and 2 weeks went by. This looming budget deficit, there was a deadline coming. You know, they'd have to start making cuts and all that. Deadline was approaching. And finally, one day before the council was getting together again to reconvene about this impending budget major cut, He got one letter out of the 100 and some that he had sent. Just one response at all. And it, inside was a check for $100. And it was from a Unitarian church in town. And they simply said, please find a gift inside. We took it during a free will offering. So it wasn't the church's budget, but they took a gift and they contributed and they returned a portion back. So I thought that was very curious when I heard that. So I called the mayor. And he answered the phone when I called the city of Racine, Wisconsin. I mean, there you go. So he answers the phone, and I told him, I'm a pastor, and et cetera, and my experience. So I just thought that was just great that you sent out this letter, and I'm curious, you got just one response. And he says, yes. He says that really troubled him, and he was curious about that, because he said, all these nonprofits get so much from the city. He just thought he would ask them, you know, no pressure, no guilt, no judgment, if they would simply be willing to return a little on that investment. You know, I think that experience is a little bit about kind of like what Jesus must have felt when he sent away 10 lepers cured of the disease. But you might say, yes, you could understand that. My goodness gracious, if you had leprosy, and you may have spent 3, 4, 5, 6, 10, even more years away, sort of sequestered in your own sick community, a city of illness. Just couldn't. You wanted to have friends and other family, but you couldn't because you had this disease and they kept you quarantined. But imagine walking, leaving Jesus, and sort of as they leave, they realize that they're cleansed. They would have been just so excited. And you can almost imagine they might have forgotten a few moments before when Jesus said, oh, and by the way, I want you to go and show yourself to the priests. See, Jesus doesn't want us just to receive gifts and just take the gift and say, thank you very much. Oh my God, it's so great. And then just go run off and enjoy the gift, which would be fine. I mean, that is fine. But the deeper kind of a gift that Jesus gives to these lepers, for example, was imagine what the priest would have said if these lepers who were now clean showed up all at once at the priest's door and began knocking on the door saying, hey, priest, look, I had leprosy, and now I don't. The priest would have recognized that, well, how did this happen? This can't happen here. It never happened before. I don't think this could be possibly true. You have proof of leprosy. You know, who knows what he might have said. But certainly he would have said, oh my gosh, this is just amazing. Who did this? Who is it that healed you? All of you? All of you? So, well, Jesus did. And the place they would have gone to show up to a priest, you know, that would have just transformed that priest's life. You see, when we keep the gift to ourselves, we enjoy the gift. But when we share the receipt of the gift with other people, we actually extend the gift to them. The lepers, had they shown up at the priest's house, that priest's life would have been transformed forever. But of those 10, only one came to give thanks. I believe only one actually showed up at the priest's house and verified clean, came back and gave thanks to Jesus that day. The gift of Jesus is incredible. Naaman knew that healing. And these lepers knew that healing. What kind of gifts have you been given? Can you imagine back when you were, like we did earlier in our exercise, 9 years old? How many of you, willing to say, attended church or some other religious organization regularly when you were nine? Say 9 years of age. Hold them up just for a moment. Now, if you can turn a little bit, look at all the hands that are up. You see that? It's almost everyone here. Now, I wonder if we were to go down to the mall here, the strip mall, or go stand, you know, maybe down here outside a playground asking the teachers that are there, for instance. I wonder if we asked them, how many of you, when you were nine, were in church, how many hands would go up? Probably not a whole lot. You know, we're now not in a time, and this is not just in the United States, that people who grew up in church and had these wonderful memories from church, that you are the last generation. Because the generation after you, and it's nobody's fault, just one of those things, that your children may have grown up in church, but their children's children may not have had that opportunity for whatever reason. And they're finding other kinds of ways to connect with God, their Creator. They're discovering Christ in alternate ways. They're experiencing spiritual growth through different means. Some of them are cloistering together in groups and just learning from one another. Others go online and discover lots of rich spiritual resources. Others have grandparents to bring them to church. But our God is far bigger than just our church. And I wonder if all the memories in this room of when you went to church as a child, all those wonderful memories, I wonder, as you create new memories here, how are we going to share the memories that we have with others? I wonder how Cold Spring Presbyterian Church will be a place where everybody is welcome, whether you have a long memory of blessing, because it looks like most of you have returned to give thanks. But there may be many who just, for whatever reason, through sheer excitement or joy or distraction, other things going on in their life, they just haven't made it back to give thanks to God. And I wonder how we're going to make that connection as a congregation. If we collected all the memories in this room, there would just be one huge thank you, God. Could you say that with me? Thank you, God. It would just be huge. But there are people outside of us in our communities today, maybe like these lepers, maybe just people who don't get out, maybe people who can't get out, maybe others who don't know about this collection of memories that are even represented here. I wonder how we're going to get the good news message to them. I'm grateful for that mayor in Racine, Wisconsin, and I thanked him for what he did, because I think it's time for many churches, every church, to find a way of giving thanks back to the community. We already do it in a lot of ways, but I think we can do better. And I think there are ways that we haven't figured out yet how to connect. So as we prepare, as we go through our worship service, we'll have an opportunity to return to God gratitude through our financial gifts. We'll have an opportunity to return to this table of gratitude when we receive Jesus' gift of communion. And we'll have the opportunity as we leave today to think in our mind, how can we return thanks to the God through Christ who has done so much for us? Because in that gift, that person's life can be transformed too. Let us pray. God, thank you that you have given us these wonderful memories, and from wherever we've come from, wherever we've been, we thank you that you've collected us to this place so that we can leave blessing others in Jesus' name. Amen.